Now is produced by Mike Berkshire for Book Deuce, Aaron Mate, Angelique Comet, Steve Martinez, Nicole Salazar, Hani Masood, Robbie Karen, Mike DeFilippo, Miguel Nogueira, Peter Curries, our engineer. Special thanks also to Becca Staley, Hugh Grant, Angie Kiefer, Samantha Shumbly, J. Sal Moore. On Thursday, I'll be at Hofstra University speaking in the afternoon. In the evening, I'll also be out on Long Island in Manhasset. You can go to our website at democracynow.org for details. And the following weekend, I'll be in Baltimore. I'm Amy Goodman. Thanks so much for joining.
Hey, what's up, everyone? It's me, DJ Cut Supreme, for the Concert Billboard for September 16th. That's Tuesday, 2008. Starting off at DJ Writers, we have Jim Moran Jam going on at 10 p.m. Then looking ahead to Wednesday, September 17th, at the Brookhouse Brewery, we have Gale Storm performing at 8 p.m. Also on the 17th at Sullivan Hall, we have the Mike Quick Band, Emergency Service, Alchemistics, Mojo Miles, and Gas House Gorillas at 7:30 p.m. Looking ahead to the Thursday, September 18, 2008, at the WUSB Studios, we have Nina and Kerry Dito at 7 p.m. Also on the 18th at the Crazy Donkey, we got the Black Country Beatniks at 8 p.m. At the IMAC Theater, Lucky 13 will be performing at 8 p.m. And at Sullivan Hall, Yvonne Neville's Dumpster Funk at 9 p.m. You gotta love it. Now looking ahead to Friday, September 19th, 2008, at the Stephen Talkhouse, Toots and the Maytals. What a show that's gonna be at 8 p.m. At Sullivan Hall at 7 p.m. on the 19th, we have Topaz and Mudphonic, Urban Sun, Funk Exchange, The Dirty Note featuring Michael Haney at 7 p.m. And at the Our Times Coffee House, Joe Crookston. You got to call Our Times Coffee House for the time on that one. This is all for Friday the 19th. Sullivan Hall at 10 p.m. on Friday the 19th, New York Funk Exchange. And at the Cop Shop in Smithtown in Main Street at 10 p.m., Return of the Boom Bap Producers Showcase. That's where all the hip-hop producers showcase their beats at 10 p.m. For more information, go to www.wusb.fm for Concert Billboard. This is Cut Supreme.
And it is 6:01. You're listening to WUSB Stony Brook. Time once again for Off the Wall.
Thank you.
And a very good evening to everybody. The program is Off the Wall. Emmanuel Goldstein here with you on this Tuesday evening. And I realize by my own calculations that we're down to just about half a dozen or so shows before the big election happens. And the world changes forever. Imagine that. Do you know that we've been doing this show since, well, there's been a lot of them. We've seen a lot of things happen, and we've been through a lot together. And the first show was in 2003, and in all that time, we've had the same leadership in this country. Can you believe that? And even then, 2003, that wasn't the early days. That guy was elected in 2000, after all, and wow, it's incredible to me that we haven't seen a change in all that time. And I just wonder what change, if any, will come as a result of what happens in a few weeks. Actually, you know, I was just looking, because I wanted to verify that, in fact. Our first show, I just brought it up on the computer, in fact. It's this easy to do. You can do it yourself from the comfort of your own home. Simply go to www.2600.com/off the wall, and all of our shows are there. And what I just did was I just clicked on February 18th, 2003. Let's see if this actually comes up. There we go. It's low fidelity, but...
This is Michael O'Hare of Babylon 5, and even at the dawn of the third age of mankind, Destinies, the voice of science fiction, can be heard every Friday at 11:30 p.m. on 90.1 FM.
And that's still the case.
USB, Stony Brook. It's our last best hope for science fiction radio.
It's a real time capsule here. And look at that, we played the same theme all the way back then. That was the first time ever that I hit the button to play the theme. I'm just kind of curious, because I'm listening to this for the first time myself.
Okay, this is a new program called Off the Wall.
I want to see what I say.
Let's clear up some things right away so nobody gets confused. This is not Off the Hook, it's Off the Wall, it's different. You might be familiar with the other show from the other radio station, which we might talk about, we might not. But this is a call-in program, this is a talk show, this is something that, something we need to do. Our telephone number is 631-632-6901. My name is Emmanuel, but you may know me as Eric on this radio station. So, again, to confuse or to clear up confusion, let's just point out that years ago, I used to do a show here, I used to do many shows here, under a different name. But if you go around using different names on the radio, Emmanuel on one station, Eric on another, people are going to get all confused and they won't know what to listen to or who to believe. And that's the important thing, is to be believable. Off the Wall is a program brought to you here on WUSB, where we'll be talking about current events, past events, technology, all kinds of exciting and sometimes boring things.
All right, I think I lived up to that. I think that I kept that promise to talk about exciting and boring things over the years. So let's continue to do that. Can we get the theme back? Okay, this is the current theme. This is today's theme, not the theme from 5 years ago. Wow, 5 years. Imagine that. But yeah, that was the first show. And yes, you can click on a couple of buttons on the internet and listen to any show you want from February on to the present. And yeah, it's low fidelity because of bandwidth issues. You know, if there's a demand for high fidelity, so that it sounds like FM quality, we might put those on DVDs or something like that. Write to us, otw@2600.com. See if it's worth us getting off our asses to do that for people. So, Off the Wall has been coming at you for quite some time now. And I like to think that we saw a bit of history. And I like to think that we're going to see a whole lot more. Because, boy, there's a lot of history coming. And let's hope it's good history. Let's hope something actually happens to make all the bitching and complaining worthwhile. Because, you know, after a while, after a period of time where things don't change, people just sort of lose their spirit. It's called getting older. And I've seen it happen to a lot of people. You know, you're in your youth. You have all this ambition, all this... positive naivete, where basically you think anything is possible. But you know what? It is. Anything is possible. Yeah, I didn't lose my childish naivete, I know that. But I happen to know that a relatively small number of people can affect change, if they don't lose the belief that they can do so. And that's why you always see the same people doing things that make a difference, because they're the ones that actually believe, while everybody else is just trudging back and forth to work every day for the rest of their lives, and then reproducing, having offspring that do the same thing. And that's called society. That's what makes the factories keep churning out products and things like that. But some of us live for higher things, and we want to actually see mankind move ahead, do new things, take on new challenges, improve the condition of living. And yeah, you know, we haven't seen a whole lot of that recently, I know. And I think a lot of that is because people don't believe it can get any better. I've heard a lot of that kind of talk recently. And boy, I gotta say, you know, if next year comes and we actually put those two clowns in the White House, McCain and Palin, wow, I don't know how much faith I can possibly have in our future. I really, if people are that stupid that they can go ahead and do that, I don't know. It's uncharted territory for me. It really is, because I just didn't think that the boundaries of stupidity could be stretched that far. We already reelected George W. Bush, and yes, we, the American people, because I'm one of them, we reelected him to another 4 years despite everything he did. And now it's even worse, and you have people that are unwilling to recognize that, unwilling to see that, and people who have no conception of what's really going on. But we'll get into that in just a moment. I wanted to inform people about a couple of local things first. And also, I also want to let people know we'll be taking phone calls. We'll be trying to take phone calls. There's rumors the delay system is acting funky, but we'll find out. 631-632-WUSB. Incidentally, the phone number we mentioned in the show 5 years ago also works. 631-632-W... yeah, I'm saying it. I can't stop saying it. 631-632-6901. That's our other phone number. They both go to the same place, so either one will work. But we want to take phone calls, and I'd especially like to hear from somebody out there who can try and convince me why the McCain-Palin ticket would be a good one. Because, you know, I hear about these people out there, but everybody I talk to pretty much agrees with me and says that, yeah, there's all these crazy people out there that aren't listening to the facts and believe that somebody who's completely inexperienced is qualified because of that reason. And things like that, willing to turn a blind eye to all of the contradictions that have been popping up recently. All the troubling questions remain unasked and unanswered. So I want to hear from these people that actually believe that can work. Tell me what I'm not getting. I'd really like to know if there's anybody out there actually listening to this show who believes that. We'll be taking phone calls probably about on the half hour, maybe a little beyond that. But, you know, I'd like to get some new people calling in, not the same people calling in all the time saying the same thing. I know I'm one of them, but I'm behind the microphone. That's how it works. 631-632-9872. Write down the number. Put it on file for a few minutes from now. Tell your friends. Tell your enemies. Maybe that's the clue. Tell your enemies. We'll have some interesting discussions then. Okay, but some local information that people need to know about. This is something that I only just found out about fairly recently. I'm still speaking, aren't I? Hang on, I got to turn the other show off. What am I talking about, by the way?
Probably going to rain in a couple of days.
I'm talking about the weather?
And, you know, you'll get on with your lives. It's not the biggest crisis in the world.
No, it's not. I agree with myself.
Yesterday, of course, I was watching television and News 12 and seeing all...
Yeah, you know, we don't have to hear that. We don't have to hear me talking 5 years ago. You can do that anytime you want. www.2600.com/offthewall. And you can hear other radio shows, too, from other periods of time. And soon, you'll be able to hear even more interesting things from previous times. But we'll have more details on that in the future. But right now... Right now, there's an important announcement that needs to be passed on to people who are in the local area. Now, apparently, with all the concern about various crises going on and people getting afraid and running around and hysteria, that kind of thing, there's more of a demand for people to be alerted as to when that's happening. All right. When people are concerned about whatever crisis is surrounding them at the moment, They need to be told that, yes, in fact, there is a crisis, or no, in fact, the crisis is over. Now, I can't define the crisis. I don't know what they're talking about. I don't know if they mean a windy day. I don't know if they mean comets coming from outer space. I don't know if they mean crazy people storming into radio stations. I don't know. I don't know what to tell you to panic about. But needless to say, there is always something to panic about. There's always something to panic about. And Stony Brook realizes this. That's the university that we're at right now, the State University of New York at Stony Brook. Now, they have instituted what they call an outdoor warning siren system. Yeah, I mean, you know, there are outdoor warning sirens of all sorts. In fact, in our area, I'm curious how it works in other parts of the country. In our area, we have what are known as the volunteer fire sirens. I guess, I don't know if that's what you call them, but that's what I call them. Sirens in every fire district that go off at certain times. For instance, if there's a fire, and I guess this is kind of primitive the way they do it, but if there's a fire, they call the people who are volunteer firemen, because that's what we have here. We have volunteer firemen. Nobody gets paid. I don't think. Maybe the people who install the sirens get paid, or maybe the people who answer the phone at the fire department. I don't know. But the people who actually go and risk their lives and put out the fire, they don't get paid. I don't think they get paid, right? Because they're volunteers. Now, in New York City, they get paid, but they're still putting out the same fires. Not the same fires, but the same basic thing they're doing. So it's interesting how you can have the same level of service, and it is the same level of service, I think, with people who aren't getting paid as opposed to people who are getting paid. People whose full-time job it is to put out fires, and people who do it as a hobby. Well, maybe that's the wrong word, but people who just do it in their spare time, get woken up at all hours of the night. And the way that they get woken up, or the way that their attention is grabbed, is by hearing the siren go off. I know, it seems like something that existed back in the 1600s, but no, that's how it works here right now on Long Island. If the siren, you know, I think it goes off at night, but maybe it doesn't go off at night. Although, I don't know what happens if your house is burning at night, how they get the attention of people. I don't hear the sirens going off that much at night. What happens in most areas is that the siren will go for three cycles. And three cycles means, hey, there's a fire. And you'll hear that. You'll hear it coming from a siren nearby, and sometimes you'll hear it coming from a siren that's far away, meaning that another fire district is being called in as well, or maybe there's another fire. And sometimes, after about 10 or 15 minutes, they do it again, if not enough people have responded, or if they need more people, or if they've accidentally made the fire get bigger. All right, so three means there's a fire. One cycle of the siren means there's a rescue, meaning someone's had a heart attack or there's a cat up a tree or something like that, and they need to send a crew to deal with that. Now, there are some districts, or maybe this was only in the past, where the siren would just keep going for 10, 15 cycles, and maybe they've made it so that you can't do that anymore, and three is the maximum. Not exactly sure how it works. I imagine it's different throughout the island, and I'm certain it's different throughout the country. I'd like to know how other people do it. Now, what we also have here is a special added feature. At noon every day, the siren goes off one cycle to let you know that it's noon. Now, I don't know what happens if you have a heart attack at noon. That could be an issue. Could lead to a lot of confusion. But that's one of the systems that we have. And I think I've talked about this before. Stony Brook, the village of Stony Brook, you know, the people who hate the university, they have a post office that has a giant foghorn on top of it. Yeah, it's right up there in the roof. And you'll hear this foghorn go off occasionally. It goes off in conjunction with the sirens. So if there's a fire in the Stony Brook area, you'll hear the siren going off, and then you'll hear the foghorn every now and then going off. But at noon every day, except maybe not on Sunday, not sure about that, the foghorn just goes off on its own. And in addition to this, and this was the case years ago, so I haven't checked it recently because, to be honest, it scares me when it goes off and I'm standing right next to it. But there's this eagle on the post office in Stony Brook that flaps its wings at noon. I don't know if it flaps its wings when there's a fire. A lot of things I don't know about this, but yeah, so that's the system that we have existing in this area. It's kind of crazy. I know we also had, for a brief time, we had a nuclear power plant, never opened. But they installed sirens all over the place to tell people when to get out if something bad happened. I don't know what the difference is between those sirens and the fire sirens. All right. I don't know how we would be able to tell the difference. I don't think we would. And I know other parts of the country have tornado sirens. I don't know what they sound like, if they sound different or if they sound the same, or maybe they just have a different type of cycle or something like that. So there might be other sirens out there that I'm unaware of. But that brings me all the way back here to Stony Brook, where they've installed new sirens as a part, and this is a quote, as part of our continued commitment. Yeah, the commitment has existed for a while and is continuing to enhancing safety measures on campus. As part of that, only a part of that, Stony Brook University has installed an outdoor siren alert on the university's main campus. While some individuals may hear the siren indoors, the siren is designed to be heard outdoors only. If you're hearing it indoors, you may be in violation of the copyright agreement of the siren's noise, and you are not supposed to do anything. Okay, so you're supposed to only hear it outdoors. Now, please note that the siren tone is separate and distinct from that of local fire departments, and everyone should become familiar with the university siren tone. So as part of our continuing efforts here at WUSB to let people know just what incarnation is going on outside of our doors, we're going to play the siren for you so that you know what it sounds like in case you ever hear this sound on campus. This would be the outdoor siren alert, and you really should only be listening to this outdoors, except for now.
High-low tone.
Okay, wow, that certainly will grab your attention, won't it? It sounds actually just like a car alarm or something. I don't know how a siren... Is that even a siren? I mean, it's siren-like, but it's not the same kind of siren that you normally hear. And you won't hear the guy's voice at the beginning of it. I guess I should have pointed that out. That's part of their website, and it's to tell you that it is, in fact, a high-low tone. Now, in the event of a true emergency that presents a safety concern... the university will sound the outdoor siren alert, which will last 60 seconds. So you get to hear that for 60 seconds. And the following actions should be taken. Stop what you are doing. Observe your immediate surroundings for danger. And then seek shelter and additional information. How do you seek additional information? Well, okay. Additional information will be sent to all students, faculty, and staff who have entered their contact information into the solar system. I guess I should point out that they don't mean... You know, the solar system you might have heard about. They have a computer system known as SOLAR. I don't know what it stands for. It stands for something cute. But, you have to enter your information there, and then you get text messages. You get little text messages sent to you. I can't get this. I'm not allowed to get this because I'm not a student, I'm not faculty, and I'm not staff. I'm an alumni. And alumni, apparently, you can't get that. So if I'm on campus and that noise happens, I'm going to be... seeking additional information from people around me, I guess, and slowing down the whole process. So they'll get text messages, they'll get voicemail, they'll get email even. Yeah, it'll work as well as that tornado warning we had a few weeks ago that nobody knew about. Okay, if you've not entered your contact information, you can do so immediately by going to a certain website at stonybrook.edu/it/newsolar.html. You know, I'll try it again. I'll try to enter my information and see if it takes it. Now, examples of when the campus siren may be used are for weather emergencies, such as a severe thunderstorm warning. I don't know why you need a siren for a thunderstorm. Does that make sense? I mean, yeah, I guess you could get struck by lightning, but what, everybody's supposed to just pile inside whenever there's a thunderstorm? Or a tornado warning. Okay, well, there you go. Tornado warning, that would have been nice. Maybe that's why they're installing the system, because of all the confusion that happened when they... announced a tornado warning, and nobody seemed to know about it. Even on television, they weren't announcing it till half an hour after it expired. Also, other emergencies, hazardous material / chemical spill. Oh, boy! This is the kind of thing we can look forward to on campus. Or, and this is my favorite, other dangerous situation. Now, how do you know when it's over? They basically send out a 30-second all-clear signal. This is something I've never understood. I've always heard this talked about. In all sorts of emergency situations, I've always heard this talked about, that an all-clear signal signifies the end of an air raid. Now, of course, we don't have air raids in this country because we don't have any countries that are bombing us. So we don't generally have air raid sirens, at least I don't know what that would sound like either. But once you are supposed to come out of the shelters, you're supposed to hear an all-clear signal. How do you know what an all-clear signal sounds like? I have no idea what it sounds like. But this is what the Stony Brook all-clear signal will sound like. So if you hear this, it's called a discontinuous air horn. If you hear that tone, I guess it means it's okay to emerge and resume your normal activities. Now, you're going to hear an example of this, and you're going to hear the guy's voice again, so don't panic when you hear that. The all-clear signal.
Discontinuous air horn.
All right. First of all, that guy sounds like he's really enthused by his job. But who in their darkest fantasies ever came up with that sound as conveying everything's okay now? My God, it makes you want to jump out of your skin. How about just playing, you know, a nice melodic sound or song or Barry Manilow? No, that wouldn't work. But something that would make you just calm down a little bit. A harpsichord, perhaps. Anyway, the emergency management team will periodically test the siren to ensure the functionality of the system. The campus community will be informed of the time and date prior to each scheduled test. Look forward to that. Fun for everybody. I don't know where these sirens are, how strategically placed they've put them, but changing times here on campus. Never had these before. Never had sirens on campus before. Never had a need for them, but apparently now we do. Something else, more big news from campus, and you've probably heard about this. I think this went national. This happened last Wednesday, in fact. We had a briefing. We had a special announcement, press conference. A lot of big wigs in attendance. It basically was announcing the completion of the bidding process for beverage pouring rights here on campus. Yes, you heard correctly, pouring rights. That's what they call it. And apparently the beverage contract was awarded to Pepsi. So I don't know what this means exactly. I've never heard the term pouring rights before, but I looked it up on the internet, and it's a pretty commonly used phrase. And I guess universities and schools and all kinds of places award these contracts. Exclusivity, where certain companies are the ones that are able to sell their products and other companies are kept away. Now, I don't know what the fine is for having a Coke on campus now, or if you can get expelled, actually, for having Coca-Cola products in your dormitory rooms. I've heard that they're going to allow a period of, a probationary period where, you know, you get let off with a warning. But obviously, there's a lot of money involved here, so the penalties will be pretty strict, and they will be following up on this. People in your dormitories, maybe even your roommate, certainly your RA or your RHD, people like that, they will be keeping an eye on what you're bringing into your room. And if they see any Coke, believe me, they're going to call the authorities. Pepsi only. Pouring rights. Big money. Big business. Big deals. Okay, so that's what's going on here on campus. Quite a lot, as you can see. What's going on in the world? Wow. I assume people saw the Palin interview or interviews that she did with Charles Gibson over at ABC News. It's simply astounding to me how we're on the verge of doing the exact same thing again, putting somebody completely unqualified into the White House. And yes, into the White House, because, you know, John McCain is older than any president that we've ever elected. And true, Ronald Reagan was older when he was reelected, but this is for a first term. It is entirely possible And, you know, maybe you're not supposed to talk about this, but it is entirely possible that he won't survive 4 or even 8 years. I guess 8 or even 4 years, I guess, is the way to say that. It's entirely possible because of his age. That's just a fact. And you have to look at these facts. So you're basically toying with the possibility of putting somebody in the White House who has so little experience. And yeah, okay, maybe her personality is winning people over because she seems so homespun and so sincere. And I don't begrudge her that. She probably believes the things that she says, most of which I don't agree with. But regardless, you don't put somebody in that kind of a position of potentially being the most powerful person on the planet unless they know quite a bit. Think of all the other jobs. Think of somebody who drives an ambulance. They have to know how to drive. They have to know something about resuscitating people. I think they do, right? The driver has to know too, right? Certainly the people in the back have to know these things. Firemen have to know something about fire. You know, CEOs have to know something about running companies. Generally, you put somebody in positions that they're qualified for. And to say somebody who was mayor of a very small community, a lot smaller than this campus, that's qualification to running a country. You know, there might be some parallels being class president in sixth grade. There are some parallels for sure. It's not the same thing. And being governor of a state with so few people, fewer people than Rhode Island, no, you know, that doesn't do it either. So when I saw these questions being asked, and just the sidestepping that was going on, we've heard the whole Bush Doctrine thing. Now, maybe many people don't know what the Bush Doctrine is. Maybe that's a phrase that hasn't been bandied about quite so much. But you better believe in the circles that politicians move in the circles that government leaders, people who are in tune with what's happening throughout the world, in those circles, people know. They know damn well what the Bush Doctrine is. So for somebody not to know that, who aspires to be the vice president of this country and eventually the president, for someone not to know that, that shows you something. Basically, what we are on the verge of doing is putting somebody in power that has basically the same inexperience as George W. Bush. And we saw what a disaster that was. But at least with George W. Bush, we could laugh because of the way he tried to express himself and failed time after time. It was tragic, but it was also funny. Here, we lose the funny part because she does know how to speak. She does know how to enunciate. She does know how to say certain things, but she doesn't know what she's doing still. You ever know somebody who doesn't know what they're doing and can enunciate it and can explain themselves and basically blame everybody else and justify things? There's nothing to laugh at. There's nothing at all to laugh at as far as that goes. It's just, we'll be in a state of shock for 4 years or 8 years. Case in point, look at this investigation that's going on about the whole state trooper incident in Alaska. We don't need to get into the whole details of that. Everyone's talked about it. At the beginning of all this, when she was brought out onto stage by John McCain, she said she welcomed the investigation because it would prove beyond any shadow of a doubt that there was nothing untoward going on, that everything was above board, that she was completely innocent of anything. And now what has just happened is she has said she's going to refuse to cooperate. She's not going to cooperate at all. Now, why is this exactly? She says, and this is the most astounding part of the whole thing. She says the legislative investigation is tainted. It's tainted, and supporters of Democratic rival Barack Obama have infiltrated it and are now controlling it. Yeah, she said they've been hijacked by Obama operatives for the Democratic presidential nominee. And basically, she's accusing Alaska State Senator Hollis French, who is a Democratic lawmaker, managing the investigation and not surprisingly, an Obama supporter. But there are Republicans involved as well. And regardless, you know, you don't get to choose who's looking into your criminal wrongdoings. If somebody's investigating me, I don't get to say, you know what, that guy's a judge, and he's going to be biased against me because I'm not. You know, you don't get to do that. Obviously, there are going to be people looking into you who want to see you go down or who aren't necessarily on your side. But if you haven't done anything wrong, you should be prepared to defend yourself against that kind of a thing. But instead, no, just not going to cooperate at all. That tells you something. That tells you when push comes to shove, well, she's just going to play whatever game she can play. Another case in point, look at the way that she has been completely shielded from any questions whatsoever other than this interview that took place last week. For a second week in a row, no talk shows. Joe Biden's on all the talk shows, Barack Obama, John McCain. But Sarah Palin, no, she doesn't know anything, so she's not going to be answering any more questions. But there is this. For the first time since becoming McCain's running mate, Sarah Palin will be taking questions in an open forum from voters alongside the Arizona senator on Wednesday. That's tomorrow. So, yes, there is something, but he's going to be standing right next to her to keep her from saying anything she's not supposed to say or from anybody asking questions they're not supposed to ask. Now, up until now, she's been campaigning under very tightly controlled situations. No questions at all allowed. No questions allowed. Now, Palin's solo debut is a case study in her appeal and in the McCain campaign strategy to keep her on a careful script. Palin's two rallies out west were tightly controlled events. In Carson City, Nevada, on Saturday, Palin furiously signed autographs for longer than she spoke. In Golden, Colorado, on Monday, signs that voters brought to the rally were not allowed in. But yellow signs in the crowd were distributed by the campaign. It's unbelievable. This is a free and open election, huh? Palin spent this past Sunday in Denver out of sight, meeting with aides and staying away from the press. And as for reporters following her around, they're still trying. More and more, Palin appears to be honing her policy positions without getting too specific. Our regulatory system is outdated. Washington has ignored this. Washington has been asleep at the switch and ineffective, she said on Monday. When asked to clarify, she said exactly the same thing, word for word. Twice. Well, why is that so far from reality? I mean, really, it's the same thing. How many times have you heard her say, thanks, but no thanks? She keeps repeating this story about how she single-handedly defeated the Bridge to Nowhere, not the one here at Stony Brook, the one in Alaska, by refusing earmarks, which is a complete and utter lie. It's not how it happened at all. It's been proven over and over again with all kinds of first-hand documentation, newspaper reports, witnesses, everything. It's all there. Yet they keep saying it over and over again. And I guess they think that if they say things over and over again, people are just going to accept them as truth. And again, this is how you run an open campaign, refusing questions, only allowing certain signs to be held up, and just repeating falsehoods until they become true. Where's George Orwell? He should be writing the sequel here. Anyway, this is a taste of the reform message McCain advisors call the key to winning and the biggest bonus of adding a Washington outsider to the ticket, especially in the anti-establishment Rocky Mountain states. Doesn't matter if you're incompetent, just matters that you're an outsider. This was her first foray at campaigning alone, since being minted as McCain's running mate. At the campaign event in Carson City, Palin added fresh material to her now familiar stump speech, what she'd like to do in the White House. My mission is energy, security, and government reform, she said. Anyway, so, she'll be taking questions tomorrow. It might be fun to watch that. But don't expect much as far as information or new material. It's not going to happen. Last week we talked about Electoral College and the numbers. But I got to say, this week, those numbers have tightened up considerably. Yeah, their strategy is working. Their strategy is working. It's almost tied in the Electoral College. So people really need to get their asses out there and register to vote if they have not already, and make sure they're registered to vote where they live. Because even with the Electoral College, these clowns have a chance. An increasingly good chance. Now, okay, the economy is tanking. Dow Jones lost 500 points yesterday, and a lot of that is a result of failed economic policies from our current administration. Economic policies that would continue under a McCain-Palin administration, probably get worse. But what they can point to is that oil prices are now plummeting. So they single-handedly solved that crisis by inventing a new one. There's all kinds of tricks up their sleeves you have to watch out for. So it's all possible. And nothing makes it more possible than people who don't care, people who don't think that they can make any kind of a difference. You can. Those swing states, they're what matter. They're what really are going to make a big difference. All right, let's read one letter that we got, which I think was pretty good as far as bringing it all home for us to understand. But first, I would like to go into delayed to see if it works, first of all. And then hopefully take some phone calls at 631-632-9872. 631-632-WUSB. Let's hear from some folks over at the high school, and then hopefully you'll hear my voice again.
Yo, this is Smithtown High School West Radio Broadcasting Class, and you're listening to WUSB Stony Brook 90.1 FM.
Maybe you hear my voice, maybe you don't. We'll find out in a second, because I've heard rumors that that the delay system is working and is not working. I'm told now that it is working, and we're coming through loud and clear. That's great. Okay, so the phone number is 631-632-9872, and we'd like to get a bunch of calls. Yeah, there's one call on the line, but if it's somebody who calls us every week, you know, we just hear the same. It's like hearing me again, except with a different voice. Okay, dear Emmanuel, while it's true that the Electoral College, other than the popular vote, will decide this election, looking at just one set of state polls will not give you a much better perspective, especially if they're from a profit-driven media organization like CNN. One of the better places to keep up with who's leading in the election is www.538.com. That's spelled out, 538.com, which maintains a database of state polls and weighs them by how accurate the pollsters have been in the past and how long ago the polls were taken. Their model relies heavily on electoral trends and demographic polling analysis, providing a more accurate reading of states that are polled frequently. I looked at that site today, in fact, and they predicted a McCain victory in the Electoral College. Can you believe that? Wow. After each day's worth of polling is entered, the system simulates 10,000 different electoral map scenarios that are possible based on the polling data, displaying the average electoral vote and popular vote under those simulations on the left side of the screen, along with the percentage of electoral map scenarios that both Obama and McCain would win under. So based on their model, there is both good news and bad news for Obama. The bad news, the Palin pick, has made the map more polarized, as it was during the previous two elections. Obama now has almost no chance of winning several Bush states that he was vying for: Montana, the Dakotas, North Carolina, Georgia, Missouri, and possibly Indiana, though the state hasn't been polled lately. The Republican National Convention seems to have gained some momentum for McCain in Minnesota, Wisconsin, and Washington states, all states that Obama will need to win, though Obama is still leading in each by 3 to 5 points. So, folks, if you're in these states, you can make a big difference. You can make a very big difference. And it doesn't matter if you're 100% for Obama, if you think he's like the greatest thing since sliced bread. The important thing is, do you believe that an Obama administration would be significantly better than a McCain administration? And I think, you know, you'd have to be taking some kind of a drug to realize otherwise, to think otherwise. Because I'm really trying to figure out how that would be possible, and I don't see it. I see a lot of people voting along party lines and afraid of a black guy in the White House. And it's amazing to me that I say something like that in the year 2008, but it is true. And a lot of my so-called progressive friends are worried about that. I don't know what they're worried about exactly, what they think is going to happen. But it's of concern. Michigan has always been very hesitantly leaning in the direction of Obama, going back to the letter here, in part because of increased racial tensions in the suburbs of Detroit as a result of its corrupt black mayor. Yeah, there you go. But more likely because Obama didn't compete there in the primaries and as a result has a poor field operation. In both the electoral map and the popular vote, it seems like this will be another close election. The good news, the additional support that John McCain has gained in the national polls has mostly come from the South, where the evangelicals have now rallied to his ticket, and the East, which is harder to explain. But my guess is that since this is the most politically correct region in the country when it comes to race, Obama's earlier poll numbers may have been inflated. The states that Obama needs to win but hasn't locked up are still toss-ups, though Obama has to allocate more resources to Ohio and Virginia to keep them from slipping away. And Florida, which does seem to be slipping away. They're not nearly as decisive now as they were during 2000. Secondly, McCain's national poll numbers seem to have peaked as he went from a September 8th and 9th high of 5 points over Obama to 2 points over him this past week. This means that any state that McCain wasn't ahead in during last week's polling will probably be out of reach for him by Election Day, including New Hampshire and Pennsylvania, for which all reliable polls since April have shown Obama with a small but consistent lead. I also feel that a lot of New Hampshire-style independent voters would be turned off by McCain's anti-abortion running mate, and Philadelphia's high African-American population and a much more popular black mayor than in Detroit makes it seem unlikely that Obama would erase Kerry's 144,000-vote margin of victory in that state this year. Most of the past victory that Obama had before the convention period, he still has. 538.com gives Obama at least a 69% chance of winning any state that Kerry won, with the exception of Michigan, though I think that by the time the debates start and the memory of the conventions fades, that figure will rise to at least 80%. John Kerry won 252 electoral votes, a few short of the 270 he needed to beat Bush. Without Michigan, that would make 235, but Obama is also performing extremely well in Iowa, which launched his candidacy, giving the Democrats a solid base of 242 electors. In the states that are truly too close to call, New Mexico, Colorado, Nevada, Virginia, and Ohio, you have to look at factors that go beyond polling. The first three have a high Hispanic population favoring Democrats, but also a very libertarian Western attitude, which might favor a president from neighboring Arizona and a moose-hunting running mate from Alaska. New Mexico has been polling well for Obama all year, though its most recent poll had it in McCain's column by 2 points. Colorado, on the other hand, seems to have experienced a slight bounce from Obama due to his convention. Nevada voters don't want Yucca Mountain to be a nuclear waste site, which McCain supports, and some Colorado voters might have been offended by McCain's suggestion that Colorado should renegotiate its water contract with bordering states. Nevada has been polling slightly better for McCain all year, but it also has 61,700 more registered Democrats than Republicans, the opposite of 2004, and more than enough to make up for Bush's 21,500-point victory there. Colorado's Secretary of State purged one-fifth of all registered voters there for no reason last year. Obama gave almost 40,000 tickets to his convention speech to fans who were asked to help him register new voters throughout Colorado, including those who were purged. Obama would win Ohio if the electorate is similar to what it was in 2004, and a few of the white voters that voted for Kerry would vote for McCain, as Obama would get 95% of the African-American vote rather than Kerry's 86%. Ohio also has a Democratic Secretary of State this time, who decided to allow a one-week period in October to register and vote at the same time, which helps Obama to turn out the college vote there. And that college vote is very, very important everywhere. That same official, though, couldn't stop the GOP's attempt at voter fraud by mailing hundreds of thousands of letters aimed at discouraging voters. Obama has an excellent field operation in Virginia compared to McCain's non-existent one, though McCain is, on average, polling better. The Virginia state government has threatened college students that plan to vote in the state where they study through their scholarship funding. Actually, we did talk about this last week, and it wasn't so much the state as the county board of elections in various parts that simply were spreading misinformation and telling people that they might lose their insurance, their health insurance or scholarships or various other things if they register to vote in a state they don't live in or a region they don't live in. And that does have an effect on people. Anyway, continuing here, while these five states are hard to predict, New Mexico seems to be Obama's easiest to win. It's also hard to imagine both New Mexico and Nevada going for McCain if Colorado goes for Obama due to the similar demographics. Anyway, the point here is that this reader, who did not sign his name, but thanks for the letter, seems to think that Obama has a decent chance. But yeah, look at the Electoral College. Look at the polling that's going on. That is a good site, 538.com. We have to keep our eyes on this kind of a thing. Okay, 631-632-9872 is our phone number. We have time for a couple of calls. Let us see who is out there. Good evening. You're on Off the Wall.
Hi.
Hi, how you doing?
Yeah, I just wanted to ask Emmanuel about 1984.
Okay, well, you're on the air right now, so go ahead and ask.
That's something.
Yeah.
Good show. Yeah, I'm just, are you familiar with that?
With the book?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, very much so. Very much so. In fact, I think we live that book every day now.
Yeah, for sure. But Emmanuel Goldstein is a primary character in the
Yes, that is interesting, isn't it? Emmanuel Goldstein is a character in that book. Small world, huh?
Yeah, I think so. And Richard Burton, that was his last role.
It was his last role. In fact, he played it in 1984. They filmed that 1984 in 1984 and in England, where the book takes place. So
right.
That's the best version of the book to come out. So I definitely I recommend that.
It's a collectible, actually, now. But I was just curious. The siren sounded like the horn in 1984 that went on at 1,300 hours every day.
So yeah, well, you know, we do move closer in many, many ways every day to that society. So maybe the siren is another way of doing that.
I have the information I have is that the Internet was introduced in 1984 also. Does that sound?
The Internet was, well, the Internet, it depends how you define what the Internet is, because the ARPANET was around for many, many years before then. And I don't know of a specific exact starting date where the Internet was plugged in and started working. You'd have to ask Al Gore that, I think.
Yeah, in 1984, it's supposed to be from a Pentagon project from the 50s that was 30 years in the making,
mm-hmm.
computer scientists, and it was the University of the Internet, they called it, I think, something like that.
Interesting. That could have been another use of the word too, because I'm sure the word internet was used before the internet existed, and I'd like to know more about that. If other uses, someone could have used that word in the 1940s.
Right.
It's entirely possible. Anyway, do you have any feelings on the political situation?
I think it's very disturbing mm-hmm. how poorly informed people are, and the little bit of prejudice or the lot of prejudice underneath it, and.
Right. What amazes me is how the McCain campaign is basically using people's reluctance to actually look into the facts and simply repeating things that are false over and over again until they become true. And it's so sleazy, it's so underhanded, but it does seem to be working.
The media is at it again, and just it's disturbing.
Uh-huh, absolutely.
Great time, for sure. Anyway, thank you very much. Good show.
All right, we're going to take another call. Where are you calling from, by the way?
Hey, sure.
Okay, thanks for calling. And good evening. You're on Off the Wall.
Hey, how's it going? I haven't called in a year.
Oh, a whole year has gone by, eh?
So, I had a comment about the election, but for that, did you get the advertisements about how Shirley Kenny, the president of the college, has been changing everything?
Changing everything. Well, they have the sirens now.
Right, but a bunch of us got together, and we were just protesting all the constant changes, and we sent a bunch of ads to you. Did you receive it?
Was this a while ago?
About 2 to 3 months ago.
Probably, yeah. I do recall seeing something along those lines, yes. But why don't you tell us, the listeners, some of the things that are being changed?
She refused to meet with us, so we just wanted to discuss, you know, just the overspending and the over, you know, changing everything too much, you know, the construction, the tearing things down, the bridge, everything.
Well, the bridge is gone. The other bridge to nowhere, the original bridge to nowhere, that's gone. So are you trying to bring it back?
Well, we wanted to, but we realized we're just a small group on campus, and we have a little impact over, you know, state government-run facility.
Uh-huh. Do you think the president of this university would be better qualified to be vice president than Sarah Palin? And think carefully, because if we do draft her and send her on that ticket, then she wouldn't be here changing things anymore, you see?
So it's a possibility, but yeah. My feeling about the election is that no matter if you have a Democrat or Republican, you're still going to have wars, corruption, federal government overtaxing the citizens.
Of course, but do you think that there is a difference between McCain and Obama?
Probably a slight difference, but every time I see Republicans and Democrats in office over the past 20 or 30 years, it's like there's not much of a difference. I still...
Well, not much of a difference from where we stand, because we have all kinds of other ideals that we always see unfulfilled. But I think an Obama presidency is a step in a direction, whereas a McCain presidency is just continuing along the same lines we've been going for so many years. And you have to take that first step in order to make any change. If you don't take that step in the other direction, when are you going to do it? It gets harder and harder the further you get away from where you want to go.
That may be true, but it seems that the presidents, they don't do what they say during their campaign as compared to after they get elected. So how do you know Obama's going to, you know, really be better?
Well, if nothing else, the feeling of empowerment that people would get from actually electing somebody that is different from the status quo, even if he turns around and turns into Reagan the day after he gets inaugurated, still, for a brief period of time, people will feel like they have power. And I just always feel that that's got to lead to some good, you know, just that feeling that might get people to do more things. Anyway, listen, sir, thanks for calling. We're out of time, unfortunately. But good luck with your campaigns. And thanks, everybody who tried to reach us as well. And we're going to go out tonight with a tribute to the second of the original four of Pink Floyd, who has passed away, Syd Barrett being the first. And now, sad to say, Rick Wright has been the second. This is a song from the 60s with Rick Wright on lead vocals. OTW at 2600.com. Good night.
Hey, it's Finn with you, and you're listening to WUSB in Stony Brook. Here's a little something from Randy Newman.
Well, I'll say healthcare. But, I mean, you know, I always have been wary of showbiz people when they talked about politics. I've known too many of them, you know. They tell me the sky is blue. I think it isn't.
Right.
But it's hard to keep your mouth shut. Maybe it's because I'm old, but, I mean, I've never seen anything like this. You know, the healthcare stuff and it's colossal, you know, the New Orleans thing. And it's like, it's also visible. They're so clumsy at their bungling. It's like, maybe the other president.